Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here, back with our King of the Nerds Season 3, Episode 7 recap. And I'm going to get into it today with Brendan Noel in just a moment. But I want to first thank our sponsor for this episode of Rob's podcast, and those are our friends over at NatureBox. And whether you are competing for the title of King of the Nerds or just going through your everyday life, people are busy, and that's why you need great tasting, healthy snacks from NatureBox. So do what I do and get plenty of great tasting and also nutritious snacks. They've got over 100 snacks, all approved by nutritionists, scientists who study the periodic table of elements, and that they know what goes into great snacks like sriracha roasted cashews, peanut butter nom noms, pistachio power clusters, Big Island pineapple. There's more great tasting snacks than there are Pokemon characters. And now you can get the chance to try NatureBox for free with a trial box featuring five of the most popular snacks. You heard me, free snacks. So start your free trial right now by going to naturebox.com/RHAP. You know you're going to snack. Get smart about it with NatureBox. Go to naturebox.com/RHAP. Get a free trial box of delicious snacks, and you'll always end up feeling great and never like you have the zombie virus like Lily. Coming to you live from the RHAP studios, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who just ordered the Blu-ray of Event Horizon, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Season 3, Episode 7 recap of King of the Nerds. I'm very excited about this. And of course, today, I'm excited, but I'm a little sad that we are going to be without Mark Solera, who is on assignment this week. But I am joined by a man who is the Bowser of King of the Nerds podcasting. Here's Mr. Brendan Noel.
Oh, come on, I'm not the Toad. That's like the obvious pick.
Do you
want
to be the Toad?
I think I want to be the Toad. It was always my understanding growing up playing Mario Kart that Toad was very fast. That might have been just a lie that my older brother perpetuated, but that was my understanding. I think I'd rather be Toad than Bowser.
I feel like that's insulting to call somebody you're the Toad of podcasting. I just felt like Toad was just like a hanger-on.
It's true. He was the tag along to Princess Peach, who, you know, I don't know how many cool trends she was setting, but.
Yes. Who? Yeah. Toad? Or is Toad is a male or a female?
Oh, that's a good question. Toad might be genderless.
Is Toad genderless? I want to say be. Toad is a woman.
I don't know. I would be more inclined to male maybe, but who knows?
Yeah. Okay. Let me see. I don't even know what to Google to get that answer. Okay. So yeah, Toad is just sort of like just sort of boring, just sort of there. Let's see, let us know. I might have to email Kenny Huang and ask him.
He would be the authority to ask on that.
He would be the authority. So yeah. Anyway, so two people gone in one fell swoop, Amanda and Rachel.
Very surprising. We were talking last week, we thought that this was going to happen, but we didn't know how it was going to go down, and this was an interesting way to do it, although I'm not thinking that I loved how they did it.
Yeah, so we'll talk about everything that happened here in this episode and set up the finale, which is going to be next week here, where we're going to get down from Final Four to one Ultimate King of the Nerds, plus the return of all the other Season 3 contestants back here for the 8th and final episode of King of the Nerds next week. Now, in other Rob is a Podcast nudes, I am campaigning to be King of the Podcast Nerds, and we are having daily voting going on at podcastawards.com for Rob is a Podcast, nominated to be King of the Entertainment Podcast Nerds and also King of the People's Choice Podcast Award Nerds.
Yes, you will be sitting atop the throne of podcast games. I think you will.
Yeah.
I remember to cast my first vote for you, or was it my second vote? The second vote after the first vote today was the one I cast for you, I guess is how you would put it.
Yes, thank you. And so you can do that at podcastawards.com. All right, so let's talk this through the two tasks that were in this episode. The two battles, of course, the episode started with the competitors finding out that the teams were gone. It was going to be individual from here on out. Is that how they've done it in the first two seasons, Brendan?
This was how they did it. Was after six episodes, they dissolved the teams and moved into this format where the nerd war became individual, and that individual winner became the one person who got to automatically send somebody into the nerd off.
Okay, so in this game, which I actually kind of like games like this, which is everybody has to like try to fill as many answers in the category, things that apply in the category, as possible. And ultimately, I don't know, it was kind of a crazy thing that you sort of like, there was a queen alien that was going to spray you in the face with acid.
Yeah, and an unseen kind of like queen monster with tentacles that was shooting things at you. They, again, kind of the Big Brother production budget were going on. We have enough things to kind of suggestively squirt things in the face with them, but I guess not the budget to show whatever was this monster that was doing this, the shooting of liquid at them.
Yeah, I will say that this task was a little Big Brother.
Oh, very much. And especially, I mean, Curtis definitely had fun with the double entendres about the squirts in the face, and Ben is still being a virgin. So
yeah.
Yeah, they really had fun with this one.
Okay, so if you had two strikes from the Queen's acid, then you were done for in this challenge.
Correct.
And so it ends up being where Ben is going to win and Amanda is going to be the one kicked out of Nerdvana. And Amanda was an RHAP favorite all through this whole season.
She definitely was. She was somebody who we all liked. We enjoyed her personality and what she was bringing to the game in terms of strategy. And that's kind of why I'm not loving how they just sort of sprung this at the end of the challenge of like, oh, by the way, since you were the two losers, we're now basically going to go to sudden death and the loser goes home right now. I think for one of the more entertaining characters of the season, that's not how you treat them when you're kicking them off in the next to last episode of the season.
Yeah. Did Amanda get the rawest deal of the season?
I think she did. I think in the same episode when Rachel gets, I think, more fanfare in her exit than Amanda, something is wrong.
Yeah, it really. Well, I was sort of like, wait, what are they doing? What's happening now? Wait, this is for keeps. This is the loser. This is going home.
Yeah, and I felt like they spread it on them just as much as they did us. And suddenly, like 2 minutes later, she's gone. She's giving everybody hugs. And it's like, what just happened?
Yeah, she's gone over a periodic table of elements.
Yeah, she was staring at the thing the whole time. Another Big Brother comparison, because she should have been studying all the things in the house like they always do on Big Brother. They're counting everything.
Yes.
Needed to count all of her periodic elements.
That's a good idea. All right. So that was Amanda versus Lily. But let's just talk about the challenge in general. I thought there was some interesting categories. Like, I really do like stuff like this. Like, I like, drinking games like this, where it's like, okay, name like different, like, brands of coffee. And then, you can't think of one drink. I think that's very fun. They started off with, was the first one the top grossing 100 superhero movies?
I believe, yes, that was the first category.
Boy, that must be a deep list, and the Hulk must have really sucked to not crack the top 100.
Now, which Hulk were they talking about? Because I feel like, is there a movie called The Hulk? Because I feel like there's like, I think it's just Hulk, which is like the Ang Lee one.
Yeah.
And there was like The Incredible Hulk, which was the Ed Norton one, and now I guess they're going to do one with the Mark Ruffalo character from The Avengers. So I think that it might not be in the top 100, but I also am not totally sure that like The Hulk is a movie. So, but yeah, I feel like when Rachel gives you Dark Knight Rises and Dark Knight is still on the table, you know, take that rather than risking it on The Hulk.
Right. Like, you should just go through it like, okay, Star Wars, A New Hope, Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, Star Wars, Return of the Jedi, Star Wars, The Phantom Menace. Like, feels like things should really be exhausted before we're getting to things like The Hulk.
Yes, yeah, so like you said at the beginning, some interesting strategy to get to Event Horizon before listing, yeah, every Star Wars movie, every Star Trek movie. I don't know what was happening with Caitlin there.
See, you know, I don't want to get the two things confused. So there's top 100 grossing superhero movies. So that would not be the Star Wars movies. And then there's also the top 100.
That was a separate category, sci-fi not in terms movies. Of quality, but in box office gross.
But here's what's crazy, that the Hulk, the 2003 Ang Lee version, which I assume that she was talking about, grossed $245 million worldwide.
See, well, okay. For superhero movies, then I could see that being in the top 100.
Yeah.
So maybe, I don't know, are they just not totally sure of what movie she's referring to? Is using the definite article disqualifying her? I don't know how rigid they're being.
Yeah, now the movie is called Hulk. Yeah. That's the 2003 movie. Because she said the Hulk? Is that what, you know, they said, I'm sorry, that's not on the board.
It feels a little picky. That's, you know, that's not like how Family Feud would do it, but.
Yeah. No, I do not like it that if that's what they did.
It's possible that they could have done that, but I am not super well versed in the like mythology of the Hulk movies. Maybe there was a movie earlier that was the Hulk. Mm. So
I think they're being real sticklers there.
Yeah, I think so. Too much of a stickler, Bobby.
I think so. Okay. Drivers in Mario 8.
Yeah, I do not remember the last Mario Kart game I played. It might have been 4 or 5. 8 was a little too recent for me. The only real advantage I think that they gave them with 8 is that I feel like the more games that come out, they're adding new drivers to the game. So what was the name of the person who eventually knocked was it Rachel out? Do you remember who she suggested who wasn't a driver? It wasn't like a too off the beaten path of a pick, I think. That was a round where they went through a lot of people getting right answers. And I know that Curtis mentioned on Twitter that that game lasted a lot longer than we saw on TV because they were too good at some of the categories. And we saw that because eventually they had to condense a lot of the questions down into a montage.
Yes. Yes. The drivers in Mario Kart 8 are Mario, Luigi, Peach, Daisy, Yoshi, Toad, Koopa Troopa, Shy Guy, Baby Mario, Baby Luigi, Baby Peach, Baby Daisy, Bowser, Donkey Kong, Wario, and Waluigi.
Yeah, that's a deep list. So
and then there's unlockable drivers also.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure if that counts also.
Yeah, that might have fallen under Bobby Sticklerism.
I think so. Also, Constellations.
Yeah, and then, I mean, that's... When Rachel said Orion's Belt and was immediately gone, like, I'm curious to know if that was the first answer or they just, like, cut it there. So, and again, like, I don't know. I was surprised that was not a constellation. I'm not up on my astrology.
Can you name any constellations?
Oh, God, I don't think so. If you gave me, like, 5 minutes to think about it, maybe I could come up with one.
I don't know. The only thing I can think of is in Survivor 2, the Australian Outback, that they asked Mad Dog about Tina at Tribal Council. She said, Tina is a constellation.
Oh, see, they should, Rachel should have said Tina
Mad
West.
Mad Dog.
And they would have accepted it.
Yes. One good authority. No, if they're not even taking the Hulk for Hulk, I doubt they would take Tina Weston, but you never know.
Yeah, it was worth a try.
Yeah, I believe that's also when Mad Dog gets voted out. She says Tina is a constellation.
Mad Dog, like many characters in Survivor the Australian Outback, gone too soon.
Yes. We had Pokemon characters.
Yes, the original Pokemon characters, which is, there's 150 of them to name. So I'm surprised that eventually that was one where they got, but went through a lot of them as well. And we saw them name a lot of them. But yeah, eventually Caitlin just kind of blanked on one. So,
Brendan, how many Pokemon characters can you name?
Can I name?
Yes.
That's the first 150 is definitely like, that's my wheelhouse. That was when I played the game. So I could get through a bunch of them. I'm not sure if that's like thrilling podcasting, but I know that like, yeah, like from where they got to, they probably named 10 to 15. And I know I would have been able to keep going. And like Rachel said, I mean, like they left a pretty obvious one on the table, I think, in Jigglypuff. Jigglypuff is one of the more, I think, iconic of the Pokemon characters. If you're going to see a Pokemon character on, you know, like a kid's backpack or something, that might be one of the more common choices.
Of course. Weird Al songs. I like this category.
I did too. I felt like there were some nerdy things they put in the categories. Like I wasn't like entirely sold on like Shakespeare plays as one, even though there's certainly like Shakespeare has their nerds, but like Weird Al, I thought that was great.
That was perfect. How many Weird Al songs could you name?
Oh, I could have gone a lot more. I mean, we left, you know, another one rides the bus, the saga begins. Ben was, you know, I thought just like really panicked in that moment.
Yeah.
I think he definitely could have kept going if he was not just feeling the time pressure.
Yeah. And then we had houses in Game of Thrones. Not to pick on Curtis, but I believe he pronounced Westeros incorrectly.
I didn't really pay attention to how he pronounced it, but yeah, it sounded like he tried to get a little fancy with it and not buying it, Curtis.
Yeah. I did like, was it Ben or was it Jonathan that the way they described Rachel could have gotten this?
It was Jonathan. yes.
If she would have known anything about Game of Thrones.
Well, here's the thing. Is Ben's last name Tully as well? And that's why he said House Tully.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So a little egotistical of Ben, but you know, whatever works for you.
Yeah. House Tully, not one of the, you know, the first house I would think of on Game of
Thrones. No, I don't think so. That's a deep cut, but you know.
Yeah. So there you go. So congratulations to Ben for winning this nerd off. And then we have, of course, the battle between Amanda and Lily. And Lily was under the weather.
Yeah, I really liked this kind of running joke of her and being very ill, the biohazard kind of editing they did. I think my biggest laugh of the episode came when they do that thing when they're in the throne room where, you know, the winner gets $100,000 and the right to sit atop the throne of games, and they do the fake thing with the wind machine, and they have the shot of her with like in slow motion with the wind machine and she's blowing her nose. That was really funny.
Yeah. Do you think that her sickness cost her at all throughout this episode? Did you find her to be a step slow?
Probably, yeah. I think she had other things on her mind, like putting hot water on her head and how much it hurt and how much it felt like it was full of fuzz.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about the strategy here for the players of who they're going to send into the nerd off. Okay, of course. We know Ben, he's going to pick one person, but the other remaining people had to make a decision. And we saw Caitlin and Rachel talk strategy.
Yes. Now, the entire strategy of this episode, I feel, well, I was not able to follow like when decisions were made about like at the start of the episode, Ben mentions like, well, the houses are gone and also, or the teams are gone, but also like the Secret Six is basically done as well. So, and that was kind of confusing to me because I didn't really know why they needed to end the alliance. And I also didn't understand why at the end of the episode, they all, you know, everybody's been basically against Caitlin for most of the season. She's never been in the Secret Six. And now all of a sudden they're like, oh, well, it's obvious that we're voting Lilia. Yeah. I couldn't understand that.
Yeah. Now, why would they send somebody into the nerd off that they felt like that would have been an easy person to beat? Like, I understand it maybe from Rachel's point of view, right? She felt like she was going to be going in if she was selected by Ben. Was everybody sort of thinking that? Like, oh, let's put her in because she would be the easiest to beat if you went up against her?
That is an interesting thing to point out, is that could be why. If everybody's like, Ben is kind of a wild card. And I think that if you asked Ben, you know, maybe an hour before he had to make the decision who he was going to pick, he probably wouldn't have been certain. So, yeah, I wonder if maybe they were all trying to just sort of save themselves a little bit and try to go up against one of the easier competitors, one of the competitors who's a little more focused on the tissues in her pocket than maybe the game at hand.
So. Yeah. Okay. So ultimately, the second game is going to be Pocket Nerd.
Yes. Now, I admit I have never played Stratego, but if this Pocket Nerds game is what Stratego is, I thought that they did a really good job of explaining this to me so I could follow along. Basically, it's like chess meets battleship, kind of.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. The only thing I didn't understand that they never really explained to me was what the containment sphere space on the board did.
I felt like the containment sphere was sort of like in Minesweeper, where if you attacked it, you lost.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know.
That might have been. They never gave a clear answer for that. I kept like rewatching the episode, rewinding, trying to have them explain that to me. And it didn't really come up in the show, so I wonder if maybe that's just why they cut out any references to it. But yeah, I didn't know what that was supposed to do. But yeah, I thought the game was fun. It was a little bit more of a, you know, I would have rather this game be more like a show than a tell kind of thing, but I understand why it's complicated and requires a lot of confessionals and voiceover to explain what's happening. But the challenges where they do, you know, the life-size chess, or last season when they did the Battle Hammer game where it was Zach versus Mary Kate, those are not my favorites, but they're still fun to watch, and I like the strategy put into them. These sort of giant tabletop games come to life.
See, I like the one with Zach and Mary Kate.
Yeah, I that was a good one too.
Yeah, that was very fun. Because it was fun. Maybe it was fun because Zach was in it.
Yeah, part of the what was fun about it was the suspense of, are we going to lose a character like Zach only three episodes into the season? And of course, Zach very excited in his win.
And his stress was fun to watch also.
Yes, he was getting quite agitated at certain parts of Battlehammer.
Yes, and his distress was very fun to watch.
Oh, so much distress from Zach. Love to have him back at some point for more than just his cameo in the anthem from a couple weeks ago.
Yes. Well, I did my part this week.
Yes, and good thing you did, because he had more screen time, more airtime, I should say, in your 45-minute discussion with him than in that episode. So yes. It was a good enlightening conversation with Zach this week on Rob as a Podcast.
Yes, Zach, it was very fun. I feel like I would like to play Stratego now.
I would too. I think this is like a fun game. It feels like a game that would need to be like very alert and awake to play this game. But yeah, I think that I don't know how good I would be at it, but yeah, this seemed fun. I liked it, and rewatching it, knowing like a lot more about the game, about the strategy, how it all works. I was very into it, and I liked kind of seeing what Rachel and Lily were both trying to do with their moves.
Now, Lily was like a Stratego ringer, even though she made what Jonathan tells us, a crucial error.
Yes, she ended up kind of playing her hand a little bit. She accidentally decided to use her Astro Nerd, which is worth 5, to attack what she thought would be one of the more powerful pieces on the board, and it ended up not being so much, and so that told Rachel where her Astro Nerd was, so she could have sent whatever was the Rock Nerds that were worth 1, but those were 2. Okay, well, what was the piece that was worth 1 that could take out the Astro Nerd?
I thought that those were the Rock Nerds, but again, yes. don't take my word for it.
Okay, but yes, she ended up sort of accidentally telling Rachel where one of her more powerful pieces in the game was. This was not as critical of an error that as Rachel would make later, but certainly not the move of what we would assume to be a seasoned veteran of a game like Stratego.
Yes, a Stratego insider.
Yes.
Yes. And so Rachel looked like she had the game in hand, but then she really started to panic, and you could see her distress in particular as she was eating her hair during the competition. That typically is a big tell, I think.
Oh, you do not think that a person eating their hair is kind of well-balanced and stable and cool, calm, and collected?
Yes.
Yeah, probably safe to assume. Yeah, that was too bad. She made sort of one fatal slip of the tongue and ended up attacking with the wrong piece, and then, of course, frazzled her for the rest of the game. She kind of finally realized something she could do to try and get it together, but like she said, she did it about 7 moves too late, and just the timing didn't work out for her.
Okay, so now let's talk about this final four after Rachel is gone. And it's Ben, it's Lily, it is Caitlin, and it is also Jonathan.
Yes.
Okay. And we'll talk about who's going to be sponsoring who. But could you rank those 4 for me in power rankings?
I am going to say that the power rankings as it goes right now are maybe... I know that I've been a Jonathan doubter for a lot of the season, but I think I'm going to put Jonathan pretty high up at the top. I could feel comfortable putting him as number 1. I think Caitlin is the clear spoiler at number 2. And then I'm going to put Ben at number 3 and Lily at number 4, I think.
Okay, Lily at 4. Okay, so now I don't really disagree with your rankings. Now, what is going to happen with the people that are coming back and are sponsoring one of the people? Now, this is new, right?
It's a little new. I mean, last season, they did also kind of a draft where they had them pick somebody to at least help them study. Like the way they did the kind of final Nerd Gauntlet challenge, which I'm on record as very strongly disliking. Basically, I think there were like two or three times during that challenge where if they needed somebody to come over and help them, I think they got like 2 minutes to come over and help them. Otherwise, they had to like stay at the sideline and not talk. So I think this is going to be a similar type of thing. I almost wish it would be more like the final task on Celebrity Apprentice, where there was a lot more like engagement and involvement, and they kind of like drafted teams rather than like they are going to have to pledge support to somebody in the final two. So those finalists don't really have control over who's going to support them. They can persuade people all they want, but it's ultimately not their decision.
Now, what happens if nobody selects a person?
That I think is a really good question, because last season, it was Jack versus Kayla, and a lot of the people who came back were people from the purple team that were longtime Kayla supporters, and she ended up having a lot more people on her side. Jack had some supporters, but he was not left out in the cold. It would be interesting to see what would happen. It would be rather sad. I'm not picturing a scenario where any of the remaining four is just like so hated that not even one person would go for them. Like there's always one person too, where they're going to be like, well, I feel bad for them, so I'm going to make sure they get one person.
Okay. Well, can we run through the people who are kicked off, who they're going to support?
I think we should do that. I mean, it's a little tricky because we kind of have to go through it as like the four of them now rather than the two of them. We don't know who the final two are going to be, but yeah, we can do that.
Okay. You want to go in reverse order?
Yeah, let's go in reverse order. So we just lost Rachel.
Yes.
And Rachel and Lily seem like they're, you know, they're good friends. They're tight. And, you know, they gave the little heart about, yes, they gave the hard signs and they got voted out. So I think that if Lily's in the final two, Rachel will be Team Lily.
Not Jonathan. Both part of the Secret Six. Also, Jonathan was helping her study for Stratego.
Both part of the Secret Six. I think that I think she's more loyal to Lily than to Jonathan. I think Jonathan is right to be a little concerned about what kind of support he can expect if he is in the final two.
Okay. What about Amanda?
I can see Amanda going with Jonathan. I think those two are pretty tight. They have been pretty tight all game in terms of the alliance and the strategy they're going to employ. So I could see her siding with Jonathan.
Hey, that makes sense to me. Okay, Colby.
Colby is one of the more interesting picks. I think it's going to be possibly a surprise of where he goes. I could see him rooting for Jonathan purely in the sense of like, you know, he got me, you know, it was his kind of, I mean, Amanda was the one who took him out of the Nerd Off, but it was kind of his doing of setting up the sort of coalition to get rid of him. So I could see him sort of going purely based on like, well, I want to get beat by the best. Maybe he wants to support Jonathan. So, but he is definitely one of the more wild card picks for me. I don't know really where he's going to land.
See, I could see him picking Caitlin also.
Yes, I could see that as well, because Caitlin was very good in making sure that she always took the time to help him study, to stay his good graces. So,
and they're both outsiders.
Both outsiders. They were the two who were not in the alliance. So I wonder, I think it's just going to come down to head versus heart for him. And I just, with Colby, I'm not always sure how much heart comes into play, but that's a very possible.
Okay, Heather.
Heather, I think, is probably going to go. I would see Heather going with Jonathan as well.
Okay, that makes sense. How about Ori? What will Ori do? One of your favorites.
One of my favorites, and I'll be very happy to see him back next week in whatever
the context. Never-ending Ori.
The never-ending Ori, and nor should he ever end. Who would Ori go for? I think Ori. I can see Ori joining Team Caitlin, I think. I don't know. That's I think even more so than Colby, he could go really anywhere he wants. Once we're going back into these sort of early boots, and especially like, you know, when we get to Todd in a minute, I have no idea where Todd's going to go. But Ori, Ori's going to go, I think, either with Caitlin or maybe with Lily.
Well, Todd, I almost feel like I have a better handle on, because I know where Todd's not going to go.
Yes, we know who Todd doesn't like, and it'll be, the emotions there may have cooled, but probably not enough for him to want to support Lily over any of the other.
The Cersei Lannister,
the two-timing backstabbing B-word, as it were.
Yes, and would that make Ben Jaime Lannister?
I think so. I think we went over this in too much detail in previous podcasts.
All right, so then he's not picking them. So then he has a choice between Caitlin and Jonathan.
Yeah. I can see Todd being the kind of person who wants to go for the underdog and would probably support Caitlin.
Hmm. Didn't he lose in the nerd war or the nerd off to Caitlin?
He did lose in the nerd off to Caitlin, but I'm not sure.
I could see him being bitter.
That's possible. I would have thought, like, it didn't seem from that challenge. Like, I don't think Caitlin did anything to, like, incite him or, like, there's really any, like, specific ill will. But, that's a good point. He may have been. So that for me, I think, is a little up in the air.
Okay. What about Thomas?
Thomas, well, he could go, I think Thomas sees maybe a bit of himself in someone like Jonathan.
Yeah.
So I would think that he'd probably gravitate there. See, some of these people now are getting back into, like, a lot of Thomas's friends are people like Heather, like, who are not in this conversation. So some of his maybe more obvious allegiances are kind of unclear. But yeah, I think if I had a pick, it would probably be that he would go for Jonathan.
And finally, the great Jacob.
Jacob is just so, almost a tad too normal for this show. And I feel like we didn't get to know, like, a lot about him, and we didn't get to really see who his friends were.
It's a crapshoot. We have no idea.
It really is, because, like, Smash really kind of, I think, threw him under the bus a little bit right there in that first week. So maybe he wants to support Ben. I could see Jacob and Ben being buddies in the house. So,
okay. We'll see how it all plays out next week on King of the Nerds. Did you notice the card for Leonard Nimoy at the end of the episode?
Yes, I thought that was a nice tribute. That's obviously Star Wars long been Star Trek and Star Wars have been long prevalent themes in the show. There was a whole debate between the two shows last year, and George Takei has always been hasn't been on this season, but he was in the previous two seasons. So certainly, King of the Nerds always had a deep love and affection for Star Trek in the way that all nerds did, and that was a very nice tribute.
Okay, well, Brendan. Can you believe it? That next week is the finale. It all comes down to this.
It always comes a little too quick, but it is here. It's finale time, and much like going into the last couple of seasons, I am probably making a foolish decision in going with what is a little bit too much of an obvious pick and thinking that it is probably Jonathan's game to lose at this point. But who knows? I assume when we're back here talking about this next week, it's going to be the show pulled the rug out for me once again.
Yeah, Caitlin, your winner.
Yes.
I could see it.
Ben, your winner. You never know.
Oh, my God.
I think the only person I'm definitely ruling out from winning is Lily. I'd be very surprised if Lily won.
Yeah, it's pretty wide open. But this show's always going to be wide open.
Yes. So, and that's part of what makes it fun. So, I'm looking forward to seeing how it all shakes out.
Okay. So we will see next week. We'll be back with Mark, and can't wait to hear how it all is going to play out on the podcast next week. All right, Brendan, great job.
Thank you very much. Do you want a hashtag for this episode?
Yes, what do you got?
Well, I'm disappointed that we can't find a way to work hashtag win a date with Plaid Hamilton into any podcast. But
I saw you favorited that.
Yes, if we want something a little more on point, we could do a hashtag second squirt.
Second squirt. All right, good. Yes. I think you're going to say hashtag Tina is a constellation.
Oh, that's all. I hashtag every tweet with that, so I think that would be a little redundant. So.
All right, yeah, I don't want it to be redundant. All right, Brendan, great job, and thanks again.
Thank you so much, Rob.